All right, 8:14 now, talking about influencer Clancy Dubose, WWL Louisiana political analyst, is one of them, and he joins us now. How you doing, Clancy?
I'm well, Tommy. How are you today?
I'm okay. You were influencing before influencing was influencing.
Well, you know,
that makes
I've
sense.
Always resisted. You know, I appreciate the kind words, but, you know, one of the things I've always sort of a little exercise I did whenever I sat down at the keyboard was to not think about whether I'm influencing or not. Because if you, to me, anybody who calls himself or herself or themselves an influencer is somebody I automatically tune out.
Yep, because you're trying to, by definition, influence is what you. You know, Clancy.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me just take a second on that. That's amazing how people sometimes will look at an influencer as a source for information when, in fact, you're kind of impeaching your own testimony because you just told me you're trying to influence me. And I'd never thought about it that way before. Not that I pay attention to influencers, but I think it's an interesting point.
No, I appreciate, you know, you're right. And it's sort of like that old saying by Emerson, the louder he talked of his honor, the faster we counted our spoons, you know, kind of thing.
Exactly. Or she offered her honor. No, we don't need to go there at all. Let's talk about the mayor.
I'm thinking of the W.C. Fields line. I fought for a lady's honor once. I almost got it, too.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about the mayor's race. Any surprises there or not? Now the qualifying's over with.
I didn't see any big surprises. Not in the mayor's race. You know, I figured there would be a crowded field. My over and under was around 12, and we had 14 qualify. You know, the four names that were considered, you know, kind of well known and established. There were some that I expected to qualify, like the perennial candidate and always entertaining Manny Chevrolet Bruno. And although Eileen Carter, that was a little bit of a surprise. This is a lady who was one of the co-directors of the recall movement. I didn't see her coming, so that was a little bit of a surprise. And her other co-director of that recall effort, Noonie Man, is running for, I think, the council. I forget if it's that law. I think it's one of the districts.
D.
B. No, not B. Not B.
D.
B. Baker.
Right.
D.
That's
what
I said. D. Yeah. D is in Dave. Oh, or whatever.
I didn't hear. Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah. Belden.
D is in Dubose.
There you go. Now I got. Oh. Now I'm with you.
Okay.
Yeah. He's in that district. That's the district I live in fact. So, I don't know. It's not really a surprise, but it's an unusual occurrence. It's been a long time since, at least in my memory, that a district council member got reelected without opposition, and I checked with one of my sources who's really good at researching and has a better memory than I've got because he's younger. We could not recall the last time somebody from District B, Baker, in this case Leslie Harris, was reelected without opposition, but it's a real testament to her. You know, that she, and that's a district that's normally pretty hotly contested. It's a very diverse district economically. You got Central City and you got the Garden District and you got the downtown area, you know, all the economic infrastructure of the city, or not all of it, but a lot of it, not the French Quarter, but everything on the uptown side of Canal Street, the Superdome, the port, big portions of the port, and you know, all of the big hotels, et cetera, and the tourism center, and the arena, and the convention center, all of that is in District B. And so, and she came back in without an opponent, and two other candidates on the ballot got reelected. Dr. Dwight McKenna, the coroner, even though his office has been involved in some lawsuits recently and did not, you know, succeed in defending them, but he was reelected without opposition. And the clerk of civil district court, Chelsea Napoleon, was also reelected without opposition. So that takes a couple of decisions off the table for voters. It makes the ballot three elections shorter, as it were, on October 11th. Not really a surprise for to me, for Dr. McKenna or for Miss Napoleon. Those are not super high. The coroner's office is somewhat high profile, but the clerk of court's offices are not typically high profile. But there is the criminal court clerk did draw some opposition. He has two opponents. Darren Lombard is the incumbent, and he's got two opponents. But you know, and then the other mild surprise was the size of the race in District E, which is the East and the Lower Nine. And you've got, I think, 11 candidates there. That's an open seat. That's the seat that Oliver Thomas is giving up. He could have run for re-election. He was not term limited there. He served only one term. But he's, of course, running for mayor. And you have 11 candidates in that race. That's wide open there. So,
what Cindy Nguyen, is that, did she run one time? Was she in office for one term? Or does
she was in office for one term.
Okay. So she got one
yes,
left.
She was. Well, no. It's not like president where you can only serve two terms, not necessarily in succession. On the council, you can serve two consecutive terms, sit out, and then run again.
I got
you. So she sought a second term last time, was defeated by Oliver Thomas in a runoff, and now she's running for that seat again. And you got some names in there that are known citywide, Cindy Nguyen being one of them. State Representative Jason Hughes is another one, and John D. Johnson, who served on the council, and before that was a state senator, and before that was a state rep. He qualified. So you got some fairly well-known names in that race.
We got to take a break. Refresh my memory real quick, though. Cindy Nguyen ran for re-election and lost, or did not run?
She ran for re-election 4 years ago and lost
to Oliver Thomas. Gotcha. Yes. All right, 8:21, we'll pick it up. We come back. I want to talk about council at large when it comes to Orleans Parish and some other offices as well. Clancy Dubose, our friend, our guest, WWL Louisiana political analyst. Any questions or comments, 504-260-1870. That's the Okunor Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Please don't ever text and drive, ever. But if you can safely do it, I'll pass your questions along. We come back. Traffic now, WWL. 8:27 now, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Clancy Dubose, WWL Louisiana political analyst. I'll get it out. Let's talk about council at large. How does that run, Clancy? Are these two different seats that people are running for, or does everybody run for two seats and then the top two win? Tell me how that works.
Well, it's just like Jefferson Parish. They're separate seats. You qualify for one or the other. We used to have a system where it was a true jungle system where everybody ran for both seats, and the top two people, and voters could vote for two, and it was a complicated system. If you got 25% of the vote plus one, that was considered a majority. And it was, you know, it just got to be too much math. So they split it several election cycles ago, which makes more sense because it makes them more accountable. You know,
right. It got to be too much
individually
math.
Too much math, yeah.
So let's talk about Division One, Division Two. Everybody in Orleans Parish votes for one member for Division One, one for Division Two. It's not separated geographically, or is it?
Not geographically. They both run citywide. They're at large. Now, you have three people running in Division One. That is the seat that Helena Moreno is giving up to run for mayor. And I believe she's term limited anyway. But and so you have three candidates, two of them state representatives, Delisha Boyd, who is a state rep from Algiers, and Matthew Willard, who is a state representative from the Gentilly area. And then Matt Hill, Hispanic Republican, one of the few Republicans on the ballot. And New Orleans being overwhelmingly Democrat, the vast majority of candidates are Democrat. But you got some independents and no parties and a few Republicans scattered throughout here. So that's going to – it's shaping up in the beginning as a contest between the two state reps, Delisha Boyd, as I mentioned, from Algiers, and Matt Willard from Gentilly. colleagues in the House, but now adversaries or opponents vying for the same council-at-large seat. And then in Division 2, which is a seat with an incumbent, J.P. Morrell, he drew two opponents, both African-American males like himself, Kenneth Cutnow, who has run before, and Gregory Manning, Reverend Gregory Manning, who ran for the Public Service Commission a few years back, the seat that was won by Devante Lewis. And Manning came pretty close to making the runoff, but didn't quite make it. And now he's making a bid for City Council at Large Division II.
Real
and
quick.
Morrell, of course, has been high profile as chairman and, or alternating with Moreno, and he's running for re-election.
Real quick, only about 30 seconds left. When it comes to sheriff's races, I would think it'd be kind of awkward for Susan Hudson with a guy still on the loose, huh?
Yeah, and, you know, she had suspended her campaign. She drew five opponents, a total of six folks in that race, including Michelle Woodfork, who's shaping up as the favorite right now, way out front, but also Edwin Shorty, who's the constable of Second City Court over in Algiers. He's running. He's got signs up and campaigning hard. So that's going to be a hard-fought race.
But as I say that, Clancy, really, and I'm going to run news a minute late here, sorry, but really, even if they do bring the last guy in, is that going to really make a difference or not, you think?
For Hudson, I doubt it.
Yeah.
I think, look, she was in trouble before the jailbreak.
Right.
She's in bigger trouble now. She's got the steepest hill to climb of anyone other than maybe Manny Chevrolet Bruno, but Manny's not about, you know, he's not worried about the steepness of the hill.
And there's some other candidates in that race that got some you know, issues as well.
Yes.
We'll just let it go with that. Thank you, Clancy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Have a good week. All right, Clancy Dubose, pleasure as always, WWL Louisiana political analyst. We'll talk Pelicans when we come back right now. Time for WWL First News. 14 till 9, time to talk about your New Orleans Pelicans. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Ollie Cosell, a credentialed NBA writer who covers the Pels. How you doing, Ollie? Ollie Cosell, how you doing, Ollie? All right, well, we're going to talk to Ollie in a second. Of course, the Pelicans in Vegas doing their summer games. WWL, won't you know you can help our neighbors in Texas. And let me tell you how to deal with unimaginable heartbreak from catastrophic floods. Please go to WWL.com. You'll find links to the American Red Cross, the Cajun Navy, Austin Disaster Relief Network, and more. Greatest need right now is for monetary donations to help with burial expenses, mental health resources, recovery supplies, and volunteers. So please do what you can. Let's show up for Texas because they do always show up for us, WWL. Cares. Ollie Cosell joins us now, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. How you doing, Ollie?
Good morning, Tommy. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm well, sir. How was your weekend? Good? Do anything fun?
No, other than if you can't call yard work fun or walking your dogs in the heat fun, so no.
No. Yeah, I was out there with you with the yard work. However, it can be somewhat satisfying. Let's talk about the Pels in Vegas, and for people that have not been following it closely, tell me what's happened since the draft.
Okay, so the Pelicans have played two games in the Summer League. They've lost both of them. Of course, wins and losses do not matter. It's just exhibition season. But what you want to see is something good, especially out of the young guys. And so far, they've struggled. The Pelicans' two first-round picks, both Jeremiah Fears and Derek Queen, really, really struggled in that first game. They had 14 turnovers combined. Last game, much better improvement, just five. But you see the glimpses, right? Even though they haven't played well, this is not something that's considered out of the norm when you're stepping into the league, especially for an 18-year-old like Fears. It's a big change. I mean, just a year ago, Tommy, he was playing in a high school tournament. So he's really got to get up to speed. But like I said, there was more positives last game. You saw where these guys have the special talent with Fears to get around anybody and get to the rim. And he can absorb contact. So that means he can score as an 18-year-old right now against NBA elite competition. As for Queen, he's got a little bit more issues. He's not as quick or as fast, but you see his skill, the way he reads the floor. And so you've seen, again, why the Pelicans drafted him so high, because when it does work, he's an immense figure down there. He can grab a lot of rebounds for you. His hands are very soft, so he can score around the rim, grab those rebounds in traffic. So 3 more games left, Tommy. Not the end of the world, but you would like to see these guys and the whole team in general play better.
So what about the opposition, the people they're playing against? These are, I know they played the Lakers, right, in the latest game?
Yes, they played Lakers a couple days ago. Bronny James was playing in that game.
But I guess what I'm asking is, are vets playing in these games or not really? No.
Yeah, what the Pelicans have played so far is honestly teams that have rosters, both Minnesota and the Lakers, where these are not rookies, fresh faces to the league. They've been in summer leagues before, so they already have a leg up. These are more generally G League players. As to where with the Pelicans, if you look, it's a lot of first-timers. Besides Spears and Queen, Micah Peavy, their second-round pick, Hunter Dickinson, who's on a two-way contract, as well as Chase Hunter. So, yeah, a lot of fresh faces. That's why their struggles are more real.
So what gave you the most concern? Well, tell you what, let me take a break. I just noticed the time. Let me take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what gave you the most concern from what you've seen and what gave you the most hope, I guess, from what you've seen. 850, 10 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Ali Cosell, a credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans about the Summer League in Vegas. Traffic now, WWL. 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ali Cosell, credentialed NBA writer covering the Pelicans. Ali, real quick, so if we're at a convenience store and we walk into the refrigerated section and we're looking at all of the different colored bottles of this, that, the other thing, and it's non-alcoholic, I would say, you would ask me, hey, Tommy, do you want a, what would you refer to that substance in the bottle? What would you call it?
Ugh.
Would you call it a soft drink? Would you call it a soda? Would you call it a pop? What would you call it?
Beverage. I'm going to go with beverage, I think. Even though that can connotate alcohol, but I'm going to go with beverage.
All right, we're going to talk about that next hour, because we're going to talk with a professor of linguistics, author of Like Literally Dude, arguing for the good in bad English about why different regions refer to different things in different ways. And y'all can text us at 504-260-1870 if you know of any. I guess it'd be a colloquialism that we use here that they don't use in other places, or something that maybe you noticed in other places, like in a sandwich addressed, that they don't do in other places. Let's talk about the things that have given you hope. First of all, when it comes to the Pelicans, you got Kevon Looney and Jordan Poole from the Warriors. You got Quiñones, who played in his third summer league. Is he kind of like mentoring these people or mentoring the rookies? And do you see any recapturing of any kind of, although he didn't get a ring, Quiñones, any kind of Warrior magic happening here?
Not yet. And you really see it simply when you just look at the totals in assists and turnovers the first two games, because the keys have been given to the Pelicans' two star rookies. Right, that's what we were told going into summer league would happen. They're going to let Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen lead this team, even though they have no experience, and just to, you know, basically throw them in off the deep end, right? Get their feet really in that water, just so they can get used to NBA action, because that's what the summer league's about. It's just about exposure to the league. So while the mentorship, I'm sure, is happening behind the scenes, they're talking, especially the coaches like Corey Brewer, these kids on what to see, what they're doing wrong, helping them correct their issues. It's not per se like a real NBA game, like I said. Mm-hmm. So that's why we've seen such spotty play. That's why these kids have struggled. But it's good for them, because if you just think back 4 years ago, Trey Murphy, Jose Alvarado, Herb Jones, when they were first coming in the league, I saw a lot of mistakes from them in summer league, and they were much older entering the league than these two kids.
Real quick, what gave you the most hope from what you've seen so far?
Well, what's given you the most hope, of course, is the glimpses, right? There was a stretch in the last game where Jeremiah Fears seemed to get to the rim and either score or get to the free throw line on about 4 or 5 possessions, all within one quarter. So like I said, he's, what, just barely 18 years old. For him to do that against NBA-level competition, that's impressive. Because I remember when I was 18, there's just no way, right? And yeah. I was a basketball player coming out of high school. That's, like I said, that's what it is. And with Derek Queen, even though he's shot and he hasn't been as aggressive enough, his shot's not working too much, he's had 2 double-doubles. And again, I think that's impressive too, right? When you're getting 10 rebounds, 10 points, that means you have some skills, even though you're struggling, because you can put up numbers.
Thank you, Al. Appreciate it. We'll be back, WWL.